This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Thursday, December 8, 2016, The Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will put enmity between you and the woman. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those words of our Lord, I will put enmity between you and the woman, is the first promise that God ever utters about our salvation. And interesting to think of it, that the first promise he utters about our salvation is a promise made to Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, a whole lot of folks in the world like to point to that. Well, that's talking about Eve and the righteous that will come from her, their conflict with the unrighteous that will come from her. Yes, in part. But that promise comes to absolute fulfillment in the most true sense at the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I will put enmity between you and the woman. And when we talk about the Immaculate Conception, a lot of folks on the outside of the Catholic Church, and truly, unfortunately, on the inside of the Catholic Church, look at that as a, well, that's just a later doctrine of the Church that came about through the whim and will of the Church. No. Any doctrine, those things that we believe and we hold dear and we teach, those things are doctrinal because it's the way the Holy Spirit has spoken through the Church, through its inception. There's a hierarchy of truths. They're all kind of doctrine. Some are disciplinary. They can actually change. And then there are other doctrines that are so important, they are dogmatic. They are dogma. They are things that you must believe absolutely to be a Catholic. One of the things that we have to believe absolutely to be a Catholic is the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why? Because the Church said so later? No, because God said so in Genesis. When he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And enmity, that sounds like a very churchy word, very liturgical. We don't use that in conversation a whole lot. Enmity. I have enmity with him. No, we say things like, we are in opposition to him. We have animosity toward them. Or we hate them. That's synonymous. And that's what our Lord said. I will put enmity between you and the woman. I will put hatred between you, Satan, and the woman. Now, I said that comes to fruition absolutely at the Immaculate Conception. And with that being said, before we get into it, the Immaculate Conception is not a later church doctrine. The Immaculate Conception is the first promise that God makes about our salvation. It could not come true with anyone else in history. The Immaculate Conception is the reversal of the friendship that was contracted between the serpent and Eve. And as a result of that contract of friendship between the serpent and Eve, the whole human race that comes from Adam and Eve, which is all of us, everyone, no matter from whence you come, no matter what race, what culture, whatever, that's where we come from. And we are corrupted by that original sin. Well, that's not fair. You get stuff from your parents. It's not fair that I'm short. What am I going to do about it? All right? I got it from my parents. Same thing with original sin. It's just a lot worse. Not too bad being short. It actually comes in handy every now and then. Don't bump your head as much. The bottom line on the whole deal is we can never look at original sin and go, oh, that's a forensic, federalist, abstract concept. No, it's before our very eyes all the time that we are corrupted by original sin. Well, you couldn't mean little kids, little babies, because they're without sin. No, they're all born in original sin. That's why we baptize them as soon as humanly possible, to wash that original sin away and any actual sin that may come up. Well, little children, they don't have volition. They don't have free will. They don't, you know, they can't sin. The only person that would ever say that is a person who's never been around a child of 18 months or 2 years old. The first word they learn, no. Rebellion, no. And it's like, well, some children learn that and others learn yes. They're both monosyllabic, but they learn no. They all say no. They're rebellious. Every child that walked the face of this planet throws a temper tantrum. If you're a good parent, it only happens once. But they throw temper tantrums. They get enraged at stuff. That's original sin. It corrupts us. We can't help it. And it just gets worse and worse and worse as we come to reason, because we reason away the sin. Oh, this is okay because of this, or it couldn't really mean this. Then the garden happens to us. Has God really said? We love to tell ourselves, no, he really didn't mean that. He might have said it, but it's interpreted different now. He didn't mean it. Now we know better. No, we don't. The Immaculate Conception reverses this friendship that was contracted between the serpent and Eve. The second Eve that saves us. The first one drug us down. The second had to save us. And for God to truly put enmity between the serpent and the woman, he had to separate someone from the human race, because we are all, as a group, corrupted by original sin. No Immaculate Conception, no heaven. That's all there is to it. Because the only way you get to heaven is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason that you get there through him is by his perfect sacrifice for your sins. And he would be less than perfect if he was ever in any way corrupted by sin, original or otherwise. He couldn't be your savior. The naysayers could look at our Lord Jesus Christ and say, he is not a perfect sacrifice. He inherited flesh from a woman, and they're all corrupted by original sin. God had to fix that. And he fixes it with the Immaculate Conception. You know, our friends outside the Catholic Church, and again, unfortunately, some with inside, you know, this is all about Jesus. It doesn't have anything to do with it. He couldn't be Jesus, the God-man. He could not be perfect without the Immaculate Conception. Well, Mary even says that he's her savior. Yes, he is, absolutely. But he saved her much earlier than he does any of us, because he had to fix this. That's why the Immaculate Conception, because the second Eve could never, ever be under Satan's power in any way, shape, or form. And even original sin is to be under his power. That's all there is to it. So the Immaculate Conception is the fulfillment of God's promise. I will put enmity between you and the woman, Satan. I will make her your enemy. She will in no way be in any way your friend, like the last one was. This absence of sin, original and actual, in the Blessed Virgin Mary separates her from we, the group, who are corrupted by sin. She had to be, because the only way that she would be qualified for her divine maternity is by being immaculately conceived. How else could one become the doorway from heaven through which God Almighty himself would pass through into this world? It could not happen any other way. She could not be corrupt. He had to keep her from that state of sin. And it ultimately qualifies her for her universal queenship. We as Catholics have something going for us that unfortunately a lot of our other Christian friends don't. And it's not because it is kept from them. It's because they will not avail themselves of it. And that's the perfect intercession of the Immaculate. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. One mediator, but many intercessors. We ask each other to pray. Pray for me this, pray for me that. Pray. That's intercession. Okay? So to say there's one intercessor, for one thing, the Bible doesn't say there's one intercessor between God and man. It says there's one mediator between God and man, and it is not synonymous. Mediator is one thing, intercessor is another. The Blessed Mother, because she is immaculate, is the perfect intercessor. We ask each other to pray for whatever reason we want, and that's a good thing, and they avail much, particularly the prayers of a righteous person avail much. But do you know the heart of anyone that you ask prayers? Do you know their heart? Do you know how they live in their house? Do you know what they're... No, you ask them to pray anyway. And that's a good thing, and you should. You should avail yourselves of the communion of the saints. You should ask your patron, your guardian angel. You should ask, you know, all the biggie saints, those ones who walked on water and raised dead people and cured blind people and all that other good stuff, which many of those saints did. But guess what all those saints have in common, save the guardian angels? All the saints have in common is they were sinners. Every single one of them. None of them became saint anything until after they died. And then that determination was made sometimes centuries back in the good old days after they died. Not a few years later. There was a lot of thought that went into it and miracles that were proven. But they were all sinners, and our Blessed Virgin Mother was not. She is the perfect intercessor. She is the perfect immaculate intercessor who raises her prayers to her divine Son. If you're going to ask somebody to pray for you, and you could only pick one, duh. The perfect intercessor that has a direct line to divinity. It's a no-brainer. It really is. And as I said before, it's not withheld from anybody. They just won't avail themselves of this. And that's sad, and it really defies logic. God makes this promise about putting enmity between the serpent and the woman. We are, by adoption, her sons and daughters. And you think for a moment she's not going to listen to you. It's horrible to think that. But the reason that we should glory in this is because of the Immaculate Conception. Because that is where the first promise that God made to Satan, who started all this stuff, was that he would put enmity between him and the woman. And he does that by the Immaculate Conception. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.